on this episode of RevHang.
I don't do CrossFit. I go to a friend of mine's CrossFit gym every once in a while so I can remind myself that I don't like it and that it's dumb.
Just have them all do rallycross around Monaco.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Fun fact, you've ruined us. I can no longer trust Herta to return reliable results.
Yeah, right. It's always the pit stops, dude. He's fine. He's great until he has to stop. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RevHang. I'm Nathan, as always, and alongside me is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
My podcast.
That's how we're going to start this
Sometimes
episode.
Sometimes you realize you have free will and you can just say whatever. I'm doing okay. I did it's Memorial Day, and I don't do CrossFit. I go to a friend of mine's CrossFit gym every once in a while so I can remind myself that I don't like it and that it's dumb. But I did a Murphy today, which is apparently 1 mile, and then you do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats, and then another mile, but you're wearing a weight vest while you're doing it, and it sucks. And I hope that I remember not to do it again next year, but, yeah.
Yeah, you won't catch me doing one of those.
I took a nap on the couch for a while afterwards.
Yeah, I would as well. I don't think I'd ever wake up from that nap. All right. This is not a CrossFit podcast. Thank goodness. It's a racing podcast. I don't know. Editor, make sure this is YouTube friendly.
Make me say something else.
Make I just did. Haha. future me. All right. Let's talk about some racing.
And nothing else.
And nothing else. We'll start with IndyCar. This week was the Indy 500. It is Memorial Day weekend, so of course it was the Indy 500 and the Monaco Grand Prix.
And the Weenie 500.
And the Weenie 500.
The Wiener 500.
The Coca-Cola 600 as well, which I actually watched.
Did you actually?
I watched all 400 laps. 10 out of 10 would not recommend.
I'm sorry. NASCAR is a great highlights series.
I'm learning that.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in NASCAR. Is it the action of NASCAR, let's talk about IndyCar. Qualifying, we talked about last week, to remind everybody of the top 10, it was Robert Schwartzman on pole, followed by Takuma Sato and Pato O'Ward. Fourth and fifth were Scott Dixon and Felix Rosenqvist. Sixth through 10 were Palou, Malukas, Lundgaard, Ericsson, and McLaughlin. Moving into the race, McLaughlin crashed on the warm-up laps. Absolutely tragic scenes.
Rough. Yeah, we had a delayed start from a little bit of rain on one of the corners. And then we had another delayed start.
Because somebody didn't deal with the rain on one of the corners very well.
Yeah, a couple of somebodies didn't really deal with some of the first corners very well.
Yes. McLaughlin crashed on the warm-up laps while warming up his tires, destroyed the front end of his car. Man was clearly dejected, as I think anybody would be. Then the race finally started on lap 4, and Marco Andretti, I believe is the correct one, one of the M's, crashed into turn 1, ending his race immediately. The Andretti
he almost
cruise.
Took out Armstrong too, didn't he?
He almost took out somebody. I think it was Armstrong. It was one of the rookies for sure.
One of the blue cars.
Yeah. Might have been Rasmussen. It was somebody.
Yeah.
But after that, Takuma Sato took the lead on lap 10 and led for a good chunk of the race. Looked like he had a win firmly within his grasp, but then, we'll talk about that later. Mm. David Malukas made his way to the front and was a contender for the rest of the day. Very good drive from Malukas. On lap 74, Alex Rossi pit and his car burst into flames. Caught several of his crew members on fire as well. And the giant tank of fuel that was across the pit wall also caught on fire.
It was crazy.
It was a sketchy situation, to say the least.
It wasn't even a refueling error either. It was just like a fuel pump issue, right? Or a fuel pressure issue?
Something broke. Because he had like flames coming out of the back of his car.
Yeah.
Or he had smoke. And I think it was like probably gearbox or something. Anyway, some fuel leaked out and hit a hot part of the car, and chaos ensued.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the pit nuts. Lane was an insane place to be this weekend.
The pit lane had more action than the track did. Yeah,
absolutely brutal.
Everybody was okay though. Thank goodness they got the fire put out that was on the fuel tank.
Yeah.
Sketchy.
That's why pit crews wear fireproof suits too.
Yes. You see, Rossi was completely unbothered by the fact that his crew was burning alive and was throwing his gloves across the pit lane.
My race is over. Damn.
Oh no, my refueler is literally on fire. Okay, everyone was okay. It turned out to be fine. Later on, VK crashed into the wall on lap 82, onto the pit wall, I should say. Spun out, braking, trying to slow down into the pits, and one of his brakes failed and spun him out, slid about 200 feet into the pit lane. Not ideal.
Also not the first, not the last time.
Not the last time. Takuma Sato overshot his pit box by about 10 feet. And lost a ton of places as his crew had to push his car back into his pit box to do the pit stop. Then after that, Robert Schwartzman, the pole sitter, pit and misjudged his braking zone, locked his tires, and slid into half of his pit crew. Miraculously, nobody was seriously injured. I think a guy hurt his foot, but I think that was about it.
Looked like some big hits.
Like I thought one guy for sure broke a femur or something, but nah, it sounds like a guy just might have had his foot run over. Definitely went bowling though, which bowling for cars is one thing, as Valtteri Bottas knows, but bowling for your pit crew is quite a whole other thing.
Especially going from pit leader or pole leader to that.
Yeah.
Is rough.
Definitely rough. Ryan Hunter-Reay led the second section of the race. He led for probably about 50 laps. He was looking good. Joseph Newgarden made his way through the field very quickly, from almost last on the grid, 32nd on the grid, and he was up to P7 by like lap 100.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty nuts. On lap 92, Larson spun out and took out Kiffin Simpson and Stingray Robb. The man who claims he is the best all-around racing driver in the world, Kyle Larson, who has yet to drive anything other than an oval, spun out on an oval, his racing series of choice, not series, the discipline,
format.
Yeah, format. And another thing to notice, he went to the Coca-Cola 600 later that evening, and then also spun out into the wall and ended his race. Actually, the end of his race was because another guy crashed and he got caught up in the carnage. But he fell back to like 30th place because he spun and hit the wall.
Yep.
Greatest racing driver of all time.
He did get the double. He crashed in the Indy 500 and in the Coca-Cola 600.
Yeah. They showed the stats of it during the 600, and it was like the least successful double attempt of all time. It's like, ooh, brutal. Anyway, back to the Indy 500. Connor Daly made his way to the front through very aggressive moves. The guy was sending it on everybody.
It was wild.
Unfortunately, he did destroy his tires in the process and kind of got screwed on strategy. Because of it, fell back through the field at the end of the race.
That was painful to watch.
It was painful to watch, but it was very entertaining while he was passing everybody.
Yeah.
On lap 135, Newgarden's fuel pump failed and ended his race. The dream of a three-peat was over, and it probably would have been on if he had continued because the guy was flying.
Motoring, yeah.
Looked unstoppable. His fuel pump was, in fact, stoppable.
Yeah.
So, unfortunate scenes for Newgarden. In the last part of the race, the battle for the lead was between Polo, Daly, Malukas, and Ericsson. Ericsson cycled to the front on pit strategy with 24 to go. Looks like he was in a good spot to potentially win the race, but then Mr. Inevitable himself, Alex Palou, on lap 14 passed Marcus Ericsson, who unfortunately left the door open for him, and then Palou cruised home to a victory behind lap traffic, which caused quite the stir.
Yeah.
People not too happy about that, but let's go through the results of the Indy 500, and because it's such an important race, we will go through everybody.
Good luck.
Here we go, 1 through 33. First five were Palou, Ericsson, Malukas, O'Ward, and Rosenqvist. 6 through 10 were Kirkwood, Ferrucci, Rasmussen, Lundgaard, and Daly. 11 through 15 were Sato, Ilott, Castroneves, DeFrancesco, and Foster. 16 through 20 were Siegel, Herta, Carpenter, Power, and Rahal. 21 through 25 were Armstrong, Harvey, Dixon, Hunter-Reay, and Newgarden. 24 down, which would be Hunter Ray and on, were the DNFs. Hunter Ray did not finish because he stalled on pit lane. Actually, I don't know if he finished. He did stall and was in the pit box for quite a long time.
I think they did.
Did they get him going again?
I think they pulled him out.
Oh, yeah. 171 was his last lap, so that's about right. So
That was also hard to watch. There are a lot of hard-to-watch moments in this
very
race.
Very tragic, yes. Justin Vingegaard was 25th. 26th through 30 were Stingray Robb, Kyle Larson, and Kiffin Simpson. 26 through 30 was Stingray Robb, Kyle Larson, Kiffin Simpson, Robert Schwartzman, and Rinus VK. And 31 through 33 were Alexander Rossi, Marco Andretti, and Scott McLaughlin. Scott McLaughlin was zero laps completed.
Oof.
Brutal. Overall, I thought it was a pretty entertaining 500. Can't complain. There was quite a bit of drama and action.
Yeah. The broadcast itself had its strange points.
Fox is still figuring it out. Yeah, Fox is not the best recently. I will say the Coca-Cola 500 was actually presented by Amazon Prime, and it was fantastic.
Huh.
The broadcast was great. NASCAR itself is not my cup of tea, but the broadcast was awesome. So maybe Fox can learn a thing or two from Amazon Prime.
Fox is very well known for learning.
Yeah.
For sure.
Fox, yeah, right. Fox, for example, about halfway through the race, it was green flag racing. Then we took a break for ads. No mini screen in the corner, no ticker at the top, just full-on ads for about 3 minutes. We get back, literally 1.5 laps of the Indy 500 under green flag, which is, for those of you who don't know, probably less than a minute. And we're back to full-screen ads. So aggravating. Let us watch the racing, please. Anyway, let's talk about some stuff. First off, Marcus Ericsson, Kyle Kirkwood, and Callum Ilott got sent to the back of the field with penalties after the race was over. So Marcus Ericsson, who did finish second, ended up not finishing second. It went to David Malukas instead and Pato O'Ward in third. So actually everybody I just listed, shift them up at least one spot. You can go look at the results for yourself because I put this out before this news was relevant. Or actually several minutes after, but they hadn't updated anything yet. So, kind of glad Ericsson did not win.
That would
because
be pretty rough.
If he did, then he would have gotten that win taken away, and it would have gone to Pelot anyway, which would have felt so much worse.
Yeah.
My goodness, imagine winning your first Indy 500 like that.
Dude, even coming in second in the Indy 500 and getting sent all the way to the back would be rough.
It's rough. I don't think he really cares that much, though.
Yeah.
You either win or nothing.
I think Malukas deserved that second place, though.
Absolutely. Malukas, I think, was very much happy with it. Marcus Ericsson having won the race before and then come close to winning the race several more times, I think it's either a win or nothing for him. Especially when you're that close.
Mm-hmm.
So... unfortunate things for them. They made changes to their car after they were no longer allowed to make changes to their car, so they pulled a Penske, sort of. Pelot has begun entering the greatest of all time conversations. Not by me necessarily, but the commentators were starting to talk about that. I think there is an argument that he just doesn't have the accolades to really prove that yet. But the guy's crazy.
First oval finish being the Indy 500.
First oval win.
Or oval win, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Indy 500. And they're talking about him being the greatest of all time. The guy is crazy good, don't get me wrong. For sure the best in the field right now. It's not even close. But you're telling me that Al Unser and AJ Foyt and all those guys were like, oh, yeah, let's brush all that history aside for this man who's been in the sport for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we're quite there yet, but people are talking about it, and I do think there is an argument, if you forget the accolades and everything and all the history, that skill-wise, he could very well be the best ever. Because I think we probably have the most competitive field ever right now. Lap traffic robbed us of an insane finish. Alex Pelot just cruised to the end behind some fast-lapped cars. lots of controversy, people saying that IndyCar needs to fix this rule. I really don't agree with that.
There are some very few moments where it hinders, and a lot more moments where I feel like it adds to the race.
Yeah. I think...
because it also prevents, like, any, like, favoritism, or, like, if you need to pass somebody at a different part of the track, whereas another person gets to pass at a better part of the track.
Yeah, team orders can come into effect. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I think people should just be allowed to race for their position. F1, I get it, but IndyCar, I think, is a little different, especially on ovals.
Yeah.
I think people should be allowed to try to keep their lap for sure. It's just a little unfortunate that Paloc basically got a free win once he passed Ericsson, because the lap cars were just punching a nice big hole in the air for him.
Yeah.
But to be completely fair, Paloc played it perfectly. He hit his fuel number enough to where he had plenty of fuel by the end of the race on that crazy strategy. Realistically, I think Paloc probably would have won anyway. But I think if those two lap cars were not in front of him, it would have been more entertaining. Yeah. More of a dogfight for sure. Because Ericsson never even really got a run on him after that.
No.
So, yeah. We talked about ads. Surprise contenders in the 500. We had a few of them. David Malukas up there. Kind of everyone forgot about this man. Yeah. This is the guy that drove for McLaren for zero races. was under contract for half a season. A bike accident. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of forgot about him, but he's back. The man finished second now in the Indy 500. Great performance from him. Fantastic stuff. He was fast the entire race.
Yeah.
Constantly making crazy passes. Who else? Kyle Kirkwood in sixth place. Pretty good to see. Santino Ferrucci once again has a top 10 in the Indy 500.
Jack Harvey finished really low, but I felt like he was actually doing pretty well through that start to middle of the race.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He just kind of fell off.
Christian Rasmussen finished 8th. Connor Daly did finish 10th, but the guy was absolutely killing it out there.
Yeah.
Granted, I think maybe it's just because he was pushing too hard.
He's definitely overdriving a little bit.
Overdriving the car. And so people are like, yeah, you can go through if you're going to drive that hard.
Takuma Sato, 48 years old, started 2nd, held that position for a while, and technically after the penalties, finished top 10.
Did finish top 10, yep. What, 48 years old? And has 2 Indy 500 wins. Probably would have been competing for a third if he hadn't screwed up his pit stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said, like, for him, age isn't really a problem because he's clearly still fast.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly, so.
We can see that, thank you.
So yeah, he's like, yeah, I'll be back next year. So, great stuff. Cool. Love to see that. So, yeah, lots of great surprises in the 500. I thought it was a great race overall.
Yeah.
Won't really dive into championship standings too much because we all know what it is. Alex Palou is 115 points ahead of the next person, which I don't think is quite accurate because this is all before things changed. Actually, no, that it'd be less than that because Award would have moved up and Ericsson's already in 10th anyway. So, anyway,
still ahead by over 100 points
by a long way.
Kyle Kirkwood in 3rd kind of snuck up on me.
I mean, he did finish the first like 3 races in the top 3. Yeah. So,
although again, his standing definitely changed after not getting his bucket load of points.
Yes,
getting sent back to the back, but still,
this is true. Yeah, he finished 6th otherwise, I think. Yeah, so he actually, yeah, he did lose quite a bit of points. How many points did he lose? He got 29 plus 1 bonus point, so he probably lost a solid 25 points.
Because
I think you get 5 for finishing a race.
So that bumps him down to like right with Scott Dixon, pretty much.
Approximately, yeah.
Just a little ahead.
Something like that.
That's still a pretty good
apparently
place to
get
be.
Championship points for qualifying.
Really?
That's wild. I mean, Robert Schwartzman got 13 bonus points.
Huh.
18 okay. points overall, even though he DNF'd. That's crazy.
I guess that shows that I don't really know that much about IndyCar points.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on NASCAR playoffs. My goodness. I watched 3 videos on it last night, and I still don't understand.
Welcome to Whose Line Is It Anyways, where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Exactly. NASCAR in a nutshell. All right, let's move on to the Formula One and the Monaco Grand Prix, everybody's favorite race to fall asleep to.
Yes, I did take a pretty good nap during that middle section.
I actually did not fall asleep this year, which was weird because it was kind of a horrible race.
A riveting pit stop action.
So this year they did have a 2-pit stop mandate, so you had to stop at least twice during the race, which they thought would increase the amount of action and strategy differences, which I guess it did. It just caused so many other problems.
Yeah.
Once you start.
Do you think we'll see them do the same thing next year, or do you think they're going to pull back and try something different?
There's no way they do the same thing next year. They might still have pit stop mandates, but then they might say you have to take your first one by this lap or whatever. They're going to just start mandating the crap out of it, and it's going to just make it worse.
Dousing the track with water.
Yeah, there you go. Wet Monaco is good Monaco.
Adding some Mario Kart style shortcuts.
Yes.
A little jump over to the side of the tunnel where you can go over the water and then jump back in.
Yeah, there you go. Let's just have them all do rallycross around Monaco.
Ooh, that'd be fun. That would actually be so sick.
I think they have to get it off the calendar. I think the only way to... they have to keep the Monaco Grand Prix.
Controversial.
I'm sorry. I after this race, I don't think they can fix it. It's just not... The track does not suit the cars anymore. I think what they should do is take it off of the championship, but still have it, and then have dedicated cars, like smaller cars. Maybe they just take F2 cars, and then they have all the F1 drivers race these smaller cars around the track, possibly creating a better race. And instead of championship points, it's like a cash incentive, or which I guess doesn't really matter for
a
F1
donation
drivers.
I don't know.
Or just the chance to win the Monaco Grand Prix, which, you know, I mean, why do people do the historic race? It's not really for anything other than saying that you did it. So
you saw how well F2 did on the track earlier, though.
Yeah. F2 did not go super well.
That was a legendary pileup.
Yeah, massive pileup. No one ever heard the engineer in the F1 game say no heroics into Sandoval. Yeah. Everybody thought they could win the race into turn one. Turns out everybody can't win the race in turn one.
Apparently somebody does have to break.
Somebody has to break.
Nobody blinked.
Massive pileup in F2 into the first corner. Not great. But all right, let's move into the qualifying for Monaco, because that's what really matters. Top 10 were Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, Isaac Hadjar, Fernando Alonso, Esteban Ocon, Liam Lawson, and Alex Albon. Notably, George Russell and Kimi Antonelli, both out in Q2 and 14th and 15th. Moving into the race, Norris maintained the lead into turn 1. On lap 9, Gasly hit Tsunoda and ripped his own wheel off. Slowly made his way back to the pits, which caused a virtual safety car with all the debris he left on the track. I'm sure he will get a grid penalty next race for doing that. Lawson held up the field, so Hadjar could get 2 free pit stops.
We should just have a list of drivers who didn't hold up the field.
It's a short list. And then Sainz then held up the field to give Albon free pit stops. And after that, they swapped. So Albon was behind Sainz. And so Albon held up the field so Sainz could get free pit stops. It was funny. We were just, I was sitting there and Alonso was running 7th. And I was like, this could be his first points. Somehow he's going to find a way to mess this up. And literally 3 laps later, engine failure.
Mm-hmm.
So Alonso ended his race with an engine failure on lap 30-something, I think. Russell cut the track to pass Albon after he was getting held up for so long. Basically did it intentionally, made that very clear on the radio, and then was given a drive-through penalty for doing that. Antonelli almost did the same thing until the team was like, hey,
don't do that.
No,
that'd be bad. We need to score points.
And then they didn't.
Yeah.
Verstappen waited to pit until the last lap and backed Norris into Leclerc. Norris then pulled a huge gap on the last lap in clean air after Verstappen pit. So, top 3 are Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, and Oscar Piastri. 4th and 5th were Verstappen and Hamilton. 6 through 10 were Hadjar, Ocon, Lawson, Albon, and Sainz. 11 through 15 were Russell, Bearman, Colapinto, Bortoleto, and Stroll. 16 through 18, rounding off the finishers, were Hülkenberg, Tsunoda, and Antonelli. And we had two retirements, and that was Fernando Alonso and Pierre Gasly.
Very similar result to the pole, or qualifying positions.
Very similar, yes.
Almost like having two stops didn't actually really do anything. Work. Yeah, yeah,
right. Yeah, Monaco is... they. I was a huge supporter of keeping Monaco on the calendar for a long time. But after the last couple of years, it's like, okay, this is literally pointless. It's impossible. When you see Albon going 5 seconds a lap slower than everybody else and no one can pass him, it's like, this is a problem.
Yeah, and if it comes down to it, like, we're already kind of running out of time to fit races into the calendar. Would you rather have a Spa or would you rather have Monaco?
I know what I'd say, even though Spa's been boring the last few races that we've had. Yeah, there,
but if you really want a historic race,
Spa, yeah.
Yeah.
Bring Riverside back.
Spa no. is Riverside sometimes.
Sometimes. 2021 flashbacks. All right. So let's talk about some stuff. The championship has gotten much tighter. Just 3 points between Piastri and Norris. Piastri is still leading. Verstappen now at 136 with Piastri at 161. So still just about a race win back. Exactly a race win back, actually. George Russell cut the corner intentionally. Basically said, screw it, I'll take the penalty. That's essentially almost exactly what he said.
Yeah.
And the FIA did not take too kindly to that, so they gave him a pretty harsh penalty.
They did, in fact, give him the penalty.
He took the penalty, all right. Mercedes was absolutely atrocious this week. They said they were excited after qualifying because this gave them an excuse and a chance to do some crazy stuff. And by crazy stuff, I guess they meant do absolutely nothing for 65 laps. They didn't pit either car. I guess they were waiting for a safety car or a red flag or something.
And then that always works.
Nothing ever happened, yeah. So Mercedes was absolutely awful this race. Neither car scored points. I think I saw that this was like the first time a Mercedes hasn't been in the top 10 in qualifying in like a long time.
It has to have been a long time,
10 years. So pretty bad race for Mercedes. And then Charles Leclerc, obviously a Monegasque himself, really wanted to win the race. Kind of had a disappointing race. Did finish second, but clearly wanted more. He was fast all weekend. And then just barely got beat out in qualifying by about a tenth of a second. Had a great race, considering the Ferrari's been pretty bad this year.
Yeah, I mean, not much he could have done, really.
No, I mean, he won driver of the day. So
he did. Any sort of that was pretty cool. Yeah. Tua doesn't mean anything.
Right. So, unfortunate for Leclerc. You can tell he's... I don't know how much longer this man's going to give Ferrari before he's like, I can't take this anymore.
10 more years of misery and regret for Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, I hope he has a good therapist. all right, so championship standings we talked about a little bit. Oscar Piastri with 161, Lando Norris with 158, Max Verstappen with 136, and then back to George Russell with 99, and Charles Leclerc in fifth with 79. Past that, it tapers off. Anything interesting? Isaac Hadjar is in 10th, passing Lance Stroll finally. We don't have Lance Stroll in the top 10, thank goodness. Carlos Sainz is in 12th. Yuki Tsunoda still being outscored by Isaac Hadjar. Brutal. Anything else? Liam Lawson scored his first points of the season this week. There is that.
Nice.
Congrats to Lawson. Moves up to 17th in the championship.
Ahead of Fernando Alonso.
Ahead of Fernando Alonso.
Poor guy.
That I don't understand how one man can get so unlucky in his life.
Truly the Colton Hurt of F1.
For real, yes. Championship for Constructors. McLaren is currently ahead by, 162 points, it looks like. More than that. 170. I can't math either. By a lot. Quite a bit. Quite a few points. Ahead of Mercedes in second, and Red Bull in third. Red Bull is right behind Mercedes, only 4 points back. And then Ferrari is only 1 point behind Red Bull. So we're going to get quite the battle for second, it looks like, going through the end of this year.
Yeah, love to see it.
Yeah, see if Max Verstappen or Mercedes or Ferrari come in second place.
Yeah, cool to see Williams have double the points of Haas.
Yes.
Almost.
Williams almost doubling their points total from last year, so very good stuff. Williams has been killing it this year. Definitely best of the rest. All right, Pit Stop Championship. First place was Charles Leclerc with a time of 2 seconds flat, followed by Hamilton with 2.08. And Norris with 2.23. Fourth and fifth were Verstappen and Piastri. Six through ten were Antonelli, Bortoleto, Albon, Hulkenberg, and Gasly. Championship standings, not much has changed. I think Lando Norris moves up to third in the Pit Stop Championship. And then teams, nothing really much has changed. I think Mercedes has moved up to third as well, past Red Bull. Maybe.
I mean, that's what the
numbers
say.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No, right, because Red Bull outscored Mercedes. So,
oh, okay.
Nothing changed there. Overtake of the week. I gave this to Connor Daly for his overtake on David Malukas and Alex Palou into Turn 3 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It was a double overtake for the... It was quite insane.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Definitely a decision on the use of tires in fuel.
It was a decision on the use of tires. The man absolutely sent it and made it stick, so he gets overtake the week, even though that overtake alone probably cost him several positions in the race.
Yeah. God, watching him like yelling in
his
car.
He's screaming at his team, "I'm gonna crash if you don't pit." And then they're telling him like, "You think it's bad now? Just wait and see what happens if we pit." Man, this is in shambles, dying
out
there.
Fun fact, you've ruined us.
Great overtake, now we're screwed. All right, so let's move into our predictions for the last week. We'll go over pole position again for the Indy 500, even though we did last week. Robert Schwartzman was on pole. What did you say, Ben?
I had Dixon.
And I had Power. Neither of us got that one. Podium was Palou, Malukas, and O'Ward after the dust settled. So what did you say, Ben?
I had Dixon, McLaughlin, and Rosenqvist. What a cursed podium for me.
Rosenqvist finished the highest up of all of them, and like ninth probably. Where did he finish? So it'd be whatever it is, plus one. Plus two.
Fourth. He finished fifth.
He finished ahead of Kyle Kirkwood. So yeah, he finished fourth. Yeah.
Sick, I'll take it.
So you were one off actually on that podium. You almost got there. Almost got there. So what did you say? Dixon, McLaughlin, Rosenqvist. I said O'Ward, Ericsson, and Rosenqvist. So even if Ericsson didn't get sent to the back, I would have gotten one right.
Yeah.
I actually kind of cooked with that one. While I didn't get a lot accurate, all three of my picks finished in the top five.
Really good races,
even after, like, before the penalties, all three finished in the top five. So I'll take it. I actually picked the fourth and fifth to be on the podium. Tragic. Winning number of pit stops. We overshot this one a little bit, Ben. I think it was seven last year, though, so I want to just put that out there. Winning number of pit stops was five. What did you say?
I said nine for some reason.
I said seven. So I'm on the copium. Copium. I don't know why you thought
so many.
That's a lot. It's a lot of pit stops. That'd be one every like 22 laps.
Why didn't somebody say anything?
I don't know, Ben. I don't know. It was five pit stops by the man himself, Alex Palou. There were a lot of people on different pit strategies that did six, though. So
it's only a matter of time before the guy who's famously known for being an excellent fuel and tire saver won a race that's known for being very gratifying for people who can save fuel and tires.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yep. It was only a matter of time. All right, Formula One, Monaco Grand Prix. Top five was Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Max Verstappen, and Lewis Hamilton. What did you say, Ben?
I actually got Norris this time. And then I had Piastri, Verstappen, Russell, and Antonelli with Sainz as my dark horse. Really missed out on the Ferrari representation here.
Ah. I said Max Verstappen was going to win the race, followed by Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, with fourth and fifth being Hamilton and Albon. My dark horse was Fernando Alonso.
Mm.
Unfortunate.
Bad weekend for Spaniards.
Bold of me to assume he was going to finish the race.
Yeah.
yeah, so I got Piastri right, and that's about it.
Fastest lap. Bad weekend. It was a great weekend for Spaniards. I don't know what I'm saying.
It was a great weekend for Spaniards, yes. Except for Fernando Alonso.
Except for Fernando Alonso.
Fastest lap went to Lando Norris. What'd you say?
I had Lando Norris.
I had Max Verstappen. Did not get that one correct. Driver of the day went to Charles Leclerc. What did you say?
I took a chance on Lando Norris.
I said Alex Albon, who arguably was the most hated
driver of the day.
Yes. All right. Predictions for this upcoming week. We have IndyCar in Detroit and F1 in Spain. Let's start with Detroit. Pole position, what do you got, Ben?
I've got Kirkwood for this one.
I have Lundgaard. I think you are cooking with Kirkwood a little bit.
I can no longer trust Herta to return reliable results.
Yeah, right.
Bros,
when have you ever been able to trust him?
Like 16th in the Indy 500,
something like that. Didn't he have like a botched pit stop? No, he had to drive through because he sped in the pit lane. It's always the pit stops, dude. He's fine. He's great until he has to stop.
Genuinely, if you put this guy in F1, he might actually do leagues better because
less pit stops
and less pit stops. Like stuff is done.
Yes,
it's just no tires refueling. And you're out.
It just tires and out. Yeah. And then you have less to worry about. You have more room to get in and out of your box when you do an IndyCar. This is the strat. You got to move Colton Herta to F1. At this point, if anyone is going to Cadillac from IndyCar, it's going to be Pillow. You can't convince me otherwise. Now that he's won a 500, I don't think he has any reason to stay in IndyCar.
Yeah.
He has proven that he's got that field covered. So I would not be surprised if he makes that jump if given the opportunity, which I am all for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Max Verstappen some challenge here.
Do you have an ETN when we're getting driver announcements for Cadillac?
I thought it was going to be before summer break, so probably in the next couple months. They keep teasing it. Everyone knows it's going to be Perez and somebody else. Like it's been made fairly obvious that Perez is going to be driving for Cadillac next year, so make of that what you will.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Maybe you'll have to anything take another can hot happen. Sauce. Maybe you'll have to take another hot sauce shot if you're wrong. I'm just kidding.
No,
I won't do that.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that again. We've been banned from doing hot sauce shots after last season. Our significant others say no more. So
yeah.
They had to deal with the aftermath of that. unfortunate timing. All right. Did we go over podium?
No, we have not.
We have not.
I got distracted.
I said Lundgaard for pole position. Yes. Podium. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Pillow, Kirkwood, and Siegel.
Siegel on the podium.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's Siegels in Detroit? That's crazy.
I have Pillow, O'Ward, and Dixon. Can't tell you why.
Mm.
Dixon's not been finishing like top three at all this year, but
He came in second in Petersburg.
Did he?
Yeah. Huh. And he came in other places at other races.
Other races. Good stuff, Ben.
I can't remember. I have a vague sense that he's been doing okay, but maybe I'm also completely wrong.
I don't know. It's not like we have a list that can show us this stuff.
If only there was a website.
If only there was a website, revhang.com, where you could see all the results from all the races and things.
So crazy.
Winning number of pit stops for Detroit. What do you got, Ben?
Let's go down too far. Three.
I have two.
Old reliable.
We switched this time.
Do we really?
I think so. I think I usually say three. You usually say two, and then it's always
right,
two.
Yeah.
And then you're always right. It's going to be three this time then because I switched. Formula One Spanish Grand Prix. Give me your top five in Dark Horse, Ben.
I've got Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, Verstappen, and Russell with Hadjar as my Dark Horse.
I've got Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, and Russell with Ocon as my Dark Horse. Fastest lap, what do you got?
Oscar Piastri.
I have also Oscar Piastri.
Oh.
Driver of the day, what do you got?
Lando Norris.
I have Lewis Hamilton. So, that was the predictions for the upcoming week. Ben, you've got some tasty words of wisdom for us. Pun absolutely intended.
God, isn't tasty just such a weird word?
Don't make it weird, Ben.
How's everything tasting today? Oh, does your steak taste good?
What?
Sorry, that's a Letterkenny skit.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's been a minute since I've seen Letterkenny. Pump the brakes. All right.
Pump the brakes.
What do you got to tell our beautiful
this
audience?
This is also related to Letterkenny, actually. Makes me think of it every single time. You'll probably remember the quote, but the S&P, the choice for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's grilling season, and you just got to keep it simple when you're grilling meats. You know, like, the reason you grill is because, well, one, you want to be outside hanging out, and it's kind of a cool, like, power trip. It's like, yeah, fire. Maybe that's just me. The way Nathan looked at me, apparently it's just me.
No, not just you. I get it. I was just thinking about how I did that exact thing today at the barbecue I went to. But
yeah. But anyways, yeah. Like, grilling, you know, you get a little bit different flavor from, like, it being on open flame. You get a little different caramelization and heating and searing and all that stuff. But just keep it simple when you're grilling. Smoking's a whole different thing. We can get into smoking, like, next week or something. I don't know. But for grilling, keep it simple. Like, steaks, feel free to just do salt, pepper, and parsley. Or if you're a Johnny's seasoning salt fan, or what's the other one? If you're not a Johnny's
McCormick.
Fan. McCormick? Maybe it is McCormick. I can't remember. Whatever family you come from, just keep it simple and just don't overcook it. Medium rare is the way to go.
Yes, keep it simple, but season liberally, because a lot of seasoning comes off in the cooking process.
That is true.
So do not be afraid to absolutely coat your steak in salt and pepper.
But be a little bit careful.
I guess we'll watch a video. But yeah. they do put quite a bit of salt
Quite a bit more salt than if you do it in like a pan.
Yes. Yeah. It looks for like sure. More than it's going to be once you're done cooking it. So anyway, with all of that out of the way, thank you everybody so much for watching and or listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or a rating on the platform you listened on. It really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com, as mentioned earlier. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. Just know that we are not super knowledgeable about NASCAR.
No.
It's not something we know much about.
But it might be funny if you ask us questions about it.
Yes. We'll do no research and we'll answer your question to the best of our ability.
Vibes-based
Q&A. Answers, which we'll have to put out a disclaimer for. But anyway, don't ask us any questions about e-scooter racing either. Like, it's not a thing we want to...
Ask me anything. I'll give you an answer about something.
Ask Ben about e-scooter racing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let him take that one. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Spanish Grand Prix and the IndyCar Grand Prix of Detroit. That lovely, lovely street circuit with all the right angle turns.
So bumpy. I love it.
So bumpy. All the bumps. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.